We're up to page 36, which is the second pasuk from the four pasukim that we say from Parashas Kisavai. The first pasuk from Rami Eved Avi was the introduction. It brought out the points that Klal Yisrael came down to Mitzrayim. We expounded on the points that Klal Yisrael lived in Mitzrayim in a situation where they did not want to be there. They told Paro Lechatchila that we're coming down not to dwell, trying not to get influenced. We want to stay our own separate nation. That always is the security of Klal Yisrael throughout the Golus, that Klal Yisrael stays as a nation by itself, does not mix with the Goyim around us. There's a Beis Halevi which says that Hashem makes sure the way Mashiach is going to come is only because Klal Yisrael stays as an independent nation. And we have two choices how to stay independent. We could stay independent by ourselves. We could stay independent by keeping Torah, doing mitzvahs. Or if Chas V'Shalom, we start mixing with the Goyim too much, Hashem makes us independent by the Goyim making Zeris against us. And the Meshech Chachma points out that was the history of Klal Yisrael throughout the Golos. That when Klal Yisrael separated themselves from the Goyim, disinterested themselves in the Goyish world around them, kept themselves focused on their world, on Torah, on mitzvahs, on Yiddishkeit, and those tkufas, the Golos was calm. At times in the history of Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael mixed with the Goyim, when Klal Yisrael tried to think, well, they thought that the more they mix with the Goyim, the better off they're going to be. The more they mix with the Goyim, the better, the safer that they'll be, the more the Goyim will like them, the more they'll be an accepted part of society. Whenever Klal Yisrael lived like that, the end result was Gzeiris, that Rachman al-Islam, the Goyim made terrible decrees against Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that Klal Yisrael stays the same. And the Midrashim tell us that in Mitzrayim it worked the same way. That as long as the Shvatim were alive, the Goyim more or less left Klal Yisrael alone. As long as the Shvatim were alive, they were Madrich Klal Yisrael, they trained Klal Yisrael to do what is correct, to act like Jews, to keep away from the Goyim. And those years were relatively peaceful years in Mitzrayim. The day that the last Shevet died, when Levi died, then the Yidden started mixing more with the Mitzrayim. The more they mixed with the Mitzrayim, Ad Kedei Kach, the Midrashim say, that they stopped doing Bris Milah because they wanted to physically look like the Goyim. At that point, that's the beginning of the end. The Goyim made Gzeris. The Goyim singled out the Jews for terrible things. And because Hashem said, look, the Yidden have to make it till Bias HaMashiach. If you don't keep separate yourselves, I will separate you. So that's basically what we had. We had the Yerida to Mitzrayim, and now the second Pasuk, which is the Pasuk, which we learn now, is the Pasuk which discusses the Shibud of Mitzrayim. We talk about this Pesach night, because this is represented in the Maror. Now again, as we mentioned last time, we have to remember that the Baal Haggadah gives very, very few details of what happened over a 210-year period. And since we have very, very few details, we have to realize that every detail given to us is extremely important. Vayoreyu oysono hamitzrim. The Mitzrim were bad to us, the Sheirish is Ra. Vaya anunu, and they tortured us. Vayitnu aleinu avayda kasha, and they placed upon us hard work. So now the Baal Haggadah explains that pasuk. Vayoreyu oysanu hamitzrim. The Mitzrim were bad to us. The worst type of evil in this world is premeditated evil. There are two ways that people are not nice to each other. Most of the time, it's because you don't think. People don't think. That's the way it is. People don't think. They hurt other people. However, a person who's truly evil will do premeditated evil. Vayoreyu oysanu hamitzrim means that there was premeditated evil. That they were bad bekavana. They wanted to make the Jews miserable. So we say, bring kamasha now, like it says in the pasuk. Hava nischak malay. Let's be smart. The famous story, Paro called in his advisors and said, we have to be smart over here. We have to oppress the Jewish nation. We have to break their spirits. We have to keep the families separate, the husbands and wives separate, that they should not multiply as they are multiplying. And therefore, Paro called a meeting. Let us deal with this with Chachma. Pen Yirbeh, lest they multiply. And what's going to be the big problem if they multiply? If a war, a foreign nation starts up with Mitzrayim, so then the Yidden will join up against the enemy. Not only will they be fighting a battle on the outside, they'll be fighting a battle on the inside. There's a chashash that the Yidden will start up with the enemy. The Nilcham Banu, and they'll fight against us. The Olam in Haaretz, and we will be thrown out of the land. Paro's ruse was that he told his advisors that the Yidden are a threat to the security of Mitzrayim, because if there's going to be a war, now remember guys, the Yidden told us black and white that they're not interested in integrating into our culture. They're not interested in being part of the Egyptian way of life. So if they would integrate, okay, so they'll become Egyptians with time. If they become Egyptians with time, so then we're secure, because the war against Mitzrayim is a war against them too. But if they told us so clearly that they want to stay separate, if they told us so clearly that they don't want to integrate into Mitzri culture, so then if an enemy comes and they fight with us from the outside, they'll join up and we're going to have, you know, to the enemy on the outside, you can go build fortresses, make trenches and keep the enemy out. But if the enemy is inside your city, shooting back at you from the back, you can't win a war like that. So Paro said, look, they want to be a different culture. They are dangerous. They can go ahead and join up with the enemies. They join up with the enemies, we will be in trouble. Right? That was Paro's, what he told his advisors, what he told his nation, his whatever you want to call these guys. He told his Congress. And really, Paro hated the Yidden. Paro was out to battle against Hashem. However, he did it with his ruse, and what the Baal Gadol is telling us is that he was a premeditated Rasha. The rishus they did was done 100% on purpose. And that brings out the rishus of the Mitzrayim. There's another pshat in Vayoreihu, a very interesting pshat, that there are those who translate the Vayoreihu as Sodom HaMitzrim, that the Mitzrayim tried to make us bad. Not they were bad to us, but they made us bad. In other words, the pshat's like this. Paro understood that Yidden have Skata D'Shmaya when they do Torah and Mitzvahs. When Yidden do not have Torah and Mitzvahs, then they do not have Skata D'Shmaya. Paro said like this, as long as the Yidden are Tzadikim, there's no way that I can go ahead and hurt them or damage them. Therefore, my only solution is to make them bad. My only solution is to make them into Rishonim. Teach them how to be Eidav Eidazara, make them weak, tire their brain, make them that they can't think, and in such an environment, we can get them into Eidazara, we can get them into Znus, and if we do that, they'll lose their Siyata D'Shmaya. Bilam HaRasha had the same plan, right? Everybody knows, after the story of Balak, Bilam HaRasha said, look, I can't give a klal to Klal Yisrael, I can only bench Klal Yisrael, but I'll give you an advice. Get them involved in Znus, and you're going to win. And Bilam's advice worked. He got them involved in the Znus, and 24,000 Yidden were killed because of the Znus. So basically, again, so there's two lessons over here. One lesson is the lesson of premeditated evil. The second lesson is the lesson that even Paro knew, that Siyata D'Shmaya comes from doing Rotzayin Hashem. Another very important point that could be made over here is, the Medrash tells us that Nischak Malay, Paro was dealing with Chachma. What was he dealing with Chachma? One of the Midrashim say that Paro did not start the Shibud until after the Shlatim died. Paro knew full well that as long as Gedalei Torah are alive, as long as there are Gedalim amongst Klal Yisrael, the Goyim have no Shlita on Klal Yisrael. And therefore Paro said, I'm not no fool. Esav tried to start up the Yaakov when Yitzchak was still alive, etc. Lavan started up when Yitzchak was still alive, the Gedolah was still alive. I am not going to make the same mistake. I will not start up with Klal Yisrael until the Gedolim are Nifter. And that's also a lesson for us, that it's the Gedolim which protect Klal Yisrael. The Chazon Ish writes that had Reb Chaim Ozer and Reb Shimon Shkup and Reb Baruch Ber been alive, then the Nazis would not have been able to go ahead and kill any Yidden. All three of those Gedolim were Nifter at the beginning of World War II, and he said that the schus of those three Gedolim, would have protected Klal Yisrael. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Gedolim, Klal Yisrael was unprotected, and therefore the whole Gzeira of the Holocaust was able to happen. And this again, in this Nischak Moloid, is an important lesson. Gedolei Yisrael protect Klal Yisrael. There's another medrash over here. Nischak Moloi is that they were Nischak Moloi Mashiach Shal Yisrael. They had, the astrologers told them, the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael was about to be born. They wanted to get rid of the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael, and they said like this: Hashem always pays Mida Keneged Mida. If we throw him into the fire, Hashem will throw fire on us. If we do a different way of wiping them out, Hashem will do this back to us. The only way we're safe and secure is by throwing the babies into the water. Why are we safe if we throw the babies into the water? Because Hashem already promised He's not going to bring a mabul. Since Hashem promised He's not going to bring a mabul, so therefore we can outsmart Hashem. Because by throwing the babies into the water, so Hashem will not be able to punish us, midah k'neged midah. Okay? So the Medrash goes on to say that Pari made a mistake. Because Hashem only promised that He's not going to bring the water on the people. But Hashem never promised He's not going to throw the people into the water. Right? It's a whole different thing. So Pare took the babies and threw them into the water. So Hashem took Pare and threw them into the Yam Suf. So Hashem, even though He promised not to bring a mabul, He was still able to go ahead and kill the Mitzrayim, Mida k'neged Mida. So really I'd like to proceed. But you think about the rishus of such a proclamation. Pare was out to outsmart the Rebbeinu Shleim. In other words, he knew that the Rebbeinu Shleim existed. He knew that if he was going to go ahead and proceed in any way, he might get punished Mida k'neged Mida. But the rishus to say, well, I'm going to go ahead and outsmart Hashem because Hashem pays Mida k'neged Mida and He's not going to get me, that is the premeditated rishus of Pare and his advisors. And that's why we'll see later on, as we proceed to the Makkos, that Pare got his medicine back in his face. That you start with the Rebbeinu Shleilam, you start with Klal Yisrael, you end up getting paid back Mida k'neged Mida, and it's not necessarily so pleasant. Vaya Anunu, and they afflicted us. We discussed 2 times ago that there were 3 gzeiros against Klal Yisrael. That Avraham Avinu was told by Nevuah, there's going to be gerus, they're going to be foreigners, there's going to be avdus, they're going to work, and Vaya Anunu, they're going to be tortured. So now we discuss a little bit the Vaya Anunu, the torture. They were tortured. How do we know they were tortured? Vaya Simu Olav Sari Misim. They put upon them officers who were in charge of a tax. It was a human tax. Leman anoisai bisiv loisam, to torture them in their dwelling places. They even are miskunais leparai. They built these fortified cities for Parai as pisaim the es Ramses. 2 points. Point number one: building pisaim and Ramses was pure torture. Why was it pure torture? Chazal tell us because pisaim and Ramses kept on falling in. When people work for no purpose, that is pure torture. If a person is forced to go ahead and to do something, and they see the payrace of their work, they can enjoy the payrace of the work. If a person does forced labor to go ahead and build a city, there's a certain enjoyment afterwards that he built the city. However, if a person goes ahead and he does forced labor for no reason, purposeless, endless, etc., that is totally, completely demoralizing. And that's what went on in Mitzrayim. They tell a story that there was a person who was condemned by the king to turn a wheel. That's how they used to punish people in the olden days. And since the guy wanted him to do it, he told them that the wheel that you're turning is really turning a millstone, and it's really grinding flour for, you know, poor people who can't afford to mill their own flour. So the guy, every single day, for whatever his sentence was, would go to, he's in jail, and he went and turned the millstone, and the millstone was turning outside. You know what he was doing, really. He turned the millstone, and it was turning and turning and turning and turning, and that's what he did. Sometimes he woke up a little bit earlier, because he wanted the poor, hungry children to have a little bit more flour, and sometimes he went to sleep a little later, because he wanted to help be a little bit more useful, and this he did for whatever as long his sentence was. When he finished his sentence, he asked the jailer to show him the millstones to see that he can see the production of the flour going to the poor people. The guy laughed in his face and he said, "Millstone, there's no millstone. The whole thing was a trick." And they say the guy had a heart attack. Because he found out that for years he had been killing himself for nothing. Working for nothingness is totally demoralizing. That's vayanunu. That was the torture of the Mitzrayim. If you want to hear a cute verse, right? I want to hear Kutvart, I heard over in the name of Rebbe Soloveitchik, the Biskra Shashiva. Why did they make the Sari Misim? Sari Misim means they made the officers of the tax. Get a few officer mounts. Seems like they made it like a chash of a guy, right? Why don't you go ahead and just get a few Shvartzes and give them a whip, and they can make anyone do whatever they want. Why do you have to go ahead and make them into officers? Rebbe Soloveitchik said that nobody likes to work unless they feel like they're in charge. Unless you make the guy into an officer, unless you make him into a general, they don't do anything. Right? Everybody knows that you go to Russia, everybody's an engineer. If you're the garbage collector, you're the engineer of the garbage. If you're the floor sweeper, you're the engineer of the floor. Pari also knew this trick. You want something to do something, you have to give him a chash of a title, you have to make him feel special. So therefore, they made him into sari misim, they made him into officers. So therefore, if they were officers, the Mitzrayim would want to work. The Mitzrayim put on us back-breaking work, like it says in the Pasuk, Vayavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farech, that the Yidden worked b'farech with back-breaking work. B'farech also means, there's a law in the Torah by an Eved, which is said by an Eved Ivri, you are not allowed to make him work b'farech. B'farech means work which is endless, work which is monotonous. A person now tells Eved, please work in the field till I come back. Because since he does not know when you're coming back, it's demoralizing, it's bitter, it's endless, it's not only hard, it's demoralizing. You can tell Eved, look, it's 10 o'clock, work in the field till 11. To tell him, work till I come home, or till I tell you not to, is usher to tell to an Eved Ivri, right? But mothers should know that's also not a good thing to tell the children. It's very demoralizing. You tell your kids to wash, to sweep the vacuum, to sweep the floor till the floor is finished. Sweep the, to wash the dishes for 15 minutes. Scrub the walls for an hour. To go ahead and say, do something until I come back, which has that endless type of feeling to it, is besides the physical anguish, is mental anguish. It's usher to do that to an Eved Ivri, and it's not wise to do that to anybody else. But anyway, that is what the Mitzrayim did to Klal Yisrael. It was endless, it was monotonous, there was no end. If you think about it, you know, we talk about the Holocaust, which was, you know, millions of people for 6 years. The Shiva of Mitzrayim was for 86 years, on and on and on and on. Parents, children born into slavery, grandchildren born into slavery, great-grandchildren born into slavery. That was the farach of the Mitzrayim, of the situation in Mitzrayim. It was endless. It was hopeless. It was going on for years and years and years, seemingly without an end. That's the inui of Mitzrayim, the degradation, the hopelessness, the mental anguish. All of that was going on in Mitzrayim. I saw a vart from, wrote down the name of Alexander Rebbe. He said something very interesting. When Pare wanted to torture Klal Yisrael, he figured out how many bricks everybody could work, could make, and he told him to make that amount of bricks. When he got upset, he didn't tell him to make more bricks. He told him to search for straw and make the same amount of bricks. Why do you have to tell him to search for straw and make the same amount of bricks? Just tell him to make more bricks. Right? Right, the elders with me. Originally, he gave straw and told them to give a certain amount of the bricks. Then, when after Moshe Rabbeinu said that let's leave Mitzrayim, right, they're working too hard. So Potter said, "You guys are goofing off. That's why you have time for this nonsense. I'm going to make you work harder." And he said, "Make. I'm not giving you straw anymore. If you want to make someone harder, wouldn't it make more sense to go ahead and to give him more bricks, mitzvah to make?" So the Alexander Rebbe said like this. If a person is capable of making 100 bricks a day, and you tell him to make 120 bricks a day, that's physical torture. Right? You're making him work harder and harder and harder. To tell him to go ahead, run around with Mitzrayim, trying to find straw to make the same 100 bricks, he lives in that world of Suffolk, right? Everybody knows, when you're not sure what to do, you go crazy. Right? That's mental anguish. It's mental anguish to be running around with Mitzrayim. Will I find straw? Won't I find straw? I hope I'll find straw around the corner. I hope I'll be able to do this. That's mental anguish. Mental anguish is much worse than physical anguish. What Pari wanted to do to Klal Yisrael was not only to make them work physically, it was to involve them mentally, to totally break them and degrade them. And again, you have to always contrast this in your mind to that even at the same time when all this was going on, they were the witnesses of Nisim Gluyim. Their babies were being brought up by Hashem in the fields, like we discussed last time. So if you want to picture what was going on in Mitzrayim, it was backbreaking, it was hopeless, it was endless, it was demoralizing, it was physical torture, it was mental torture. And that's what it was. But at the other end of the spectrum, there was that drop of Siyata Deshmaya always shining through. You look at the babies being born, Shisha Bekaris Echad, six children at a time, you saw that Pari's final solution to wipe out Klal Yisrael was not helping. Because Hashem was making Nisim Gluyim at the same time. Right? Kashayana Ayusam, the more they were tortured, Kenir Bevechen Yifat. We knew that the babies were being brought up in the field, Shalai Kederach HaTeva, supported by Hashem. So it was a terrible, terrible time of mental anguish, physical anguish, but they were able to see little bits and pieces of Siyata Deshmaya. We say every day in davening, Mishon u'mivtach la'tzadikim. Hashem is the leaning post and the bitachon of tzadikim. The Vilna Gaon says in Mishlei that it means like this. Mivtach la'tzadikim means tzadikim trust Hashem. However, sometimes the matzav is terrible, the matzav is bad. So how could a person keep on trusting Hashem? So Hashem makes leaning posts. Mishon. He makes a leaning post. He reminds the tzaddik with small things that I'm still there. That I'm watching you, even though the situation is dark, bleak, and hopeless as a whole. When Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, Chazal tell us that usually these chevra carry bitter and foul-smelling tar. When Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, they carried besom, sweet-smelling stuff. You think it makes a difference? 17-year-old boy being sold by his own brothers down to slavery. What's the difference that there's some sweet-smelling stuff on the camels? The answer is that sweet-smelling stuff reminded Yosef that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. That Hashem is there, and whatever's happening is being orchestrated by Hashem. Hashem knows what's good for us. We might not understand, but it's being orchestrated by Hashem. So when we depict the misery of Mitzrayim, which is the maror, when we depict the maror of Mitzrayim, we also have to spend some time depicting the charesis, which sits on our Seder plates. That although it was horrible, hard, and miserable, and hopeless, and endless, generations after generations, physical and mental anguish, there was that charesis. We dipped the maror in the charesis. There was that ray of light. There was that indication that Hashem had not forgotten about Klal Yisrael, but this was a situation, a temporary situation, which was to be understood for the good of Klal Yisrael, even if the people who were experiencing at that moment were unable to fully understand why it was good. We dip the mar in the charesis. One more very quick point before the next pasuk. Beferach. Everybody knows the Chazal. The Chazal is that Pare wanted everyone to work. Pare himself went out to work the first day, and all the Yidden, good citizens, good Samaritans, they went to work along with Pare. They started working. Pare saw how many bricks each person could do, how capable every person was. The next thing they knew, they had these sarei misen, they had these officers. Beferach, Chazal darshan, beperach, with a soft mouth. Right? With a soft mouth. They were sweet-talked, they did it for the good of the country, they did it that people should like them, that they should be integrated. Before they knew it, they were double-crossed. Shevet Levi did not work in Mitzrayim. Shevet Levi, on day number one, did not go down to work. They were sitting in Beis Medrash, they were sitting and learning. They were not interested in this political situation to go ahead and make the Mitzrayim feel good, to make the Mitzrayim feel that they're part of society, to integrate themselves. Now, of course, in every situation, a person has to ask Das Torah what we are supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. Of course, we're told, having the spell of the Shleim Shal Malchus, that one should go ahead and one should daven for the Shalom of the Malchus. And throughout the history, Klal Yisrael, Al Pi D'Gedolim, were always good citizens. However, one has to realize that when the Gedolim say that a certain thing is not the correct Mishtabos, then we are not Mishtabos. Mordechai told them not to go to the Suda of Achashverosh. Maybe they felt that it's better politically, it's better for the Olam, it's better this way, it's better that way. L'maisa is a major, major mistake. Not everything are we supposed to do in order to make the Goyim like us. Shevet Levi didn't go, they didn't work. The rest of Klal Yisrael did go, they ended up working. So again, there's a lesson over here. The lesson over here is, again, before we go ahead and do something and get involved with that the Goyim should like us, to be good citizens, to go ahead and close our Gemaras, close our what we're doing for Hashem, and to get involved in order to make ourselves more popular, it becomes a serious shaila where Das Torah has to be asked. And that's a little bit the lesson of Levi not getting wooed in, and the rest of Klal Yisrael getting wooed in. Okay, let's proceed with the third pasuk. The third pasuk is a fascinating pasuk. Why is it a fascinating pasuk? Because we are now discussing the shortest version of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we know that we have to have pasuk beis, which is the pasuk of they worked hard. We know that pasuk, the fourth pasuk, is very necessary. That's the pasuk Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. The third pasuk says Klal Yisrael davened, and Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim. He answered their tefillah, which means to tell us like this, and this is very important, that everything in this world happens because we daven and Hashem answers. The shortest version of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim comes with tefillah and Kabbalah's tefillah. The shortest version of the 210 years, the detail that cannot be ignored, is the tefillah of Klal Yisrael, and that Hashem listens to tefillah. And if you look around, you'll see that every single time we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim in two or three sentences, we always talk about tefillah. We say in Vayivarech David, how many words in Vayivarech David do we give to Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's not even two lines, right? Mamish, not even two lines. Right? We say, Bateres Oni Avisedim Mitzrayim. You saw the Oni Avisedim Mitzrayim. Vezakosam Shamat Al Yamsuf. We talk about the tefillah. If you look in Parashat Chukas, again, there's two, three psukim about Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's always the same. That Klal Yisrael was in a terrible matziv. Klal Yisrael davened. Hashem listened, and he took him out of Mitzrayim. Wherever the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is told in a few sentences, the tefillah of Klal Yisrael is there. We have to learn, remember we began, that we're learning over here the Yud Gimel Ikrim. We're learning Pesach night, the Yesedus HaEmuna, the basics of Yiddishkeit. The basics of Yiddishkeit is, we daven, Hashem listens. The Pasuk said in Parshas Veschanan, when the Goyim look to Klal Yisrael, Umi Goy Gadol, who is this great nation, Asher Lo Yalei Kim Kravim Elav, that they have a God who is close to them, Hashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. One of the things which the Goyim are nespoil from Klal Yisrael is the fact that Klal Yisrael davens and Hashem answers. Throughout the Golos, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories where Goyim came to Yidden and they told Yidden, daven for us. It's a known fact in the world that Yidden daven and Hashem listens. When we make fun of the Avodah Zarah in Lailanu, right? And we make fun of the Avodah Zarah in Lailanu, one of the things we make fun of is that it does not listen. Rashi and Chumash, Elohim Acherim, right? Elohim Acherim refers to Avodah Zarah. Why is Avodah Zarah called Elohim Acherim? Rashi says over and over again, doesn't mean other gods, that's not what it means. Elohim Acherim. What Elohim Acherim means is gods who act like strangers to their worshippers, that do not answer when they are called to. Right? We can say in Shema in a few minutes, Elohim Acherim. Elohim Acherim, according to Rashi, means a god which does not answer. A god which is like a stranger to their worshippers. It's a very, very basic yisoid. We don't see Hashem, we don't feel Hashem. He's there, we can talk to him. We talk to him and he listens. Once heard from Matasio something fascinating. That if you look in the Mesillas Yesharim writes that one of the hardest parts of Avodas Hashem is to, when you talk to Hashem, to feel that Hashem is listening to you. He says one of the hardest parts of Avodas Hashem. If you ask the average person today, I wouldn't say it's one of the hardest parts. Matzio always says over, because you have to think about this. The Mesillas Yesharim lived 300 years ago. There were no telephones, there were no cell phones, there were no fax machines, no telegraphs, no radios, no computers, no nothing. The Mesillas Yesharim, in his whole entire life, he never, ever, ever spoke to somebody who he could not see. Right? Pashat. He never, ever, ever spoke to somebody who he could not see. If the person was two blocks down, he could see him, you can't communicate with him. In such an environment, which was the environment of Klal Yisrael for Deire Deiris, until the last 150 years or so, 200 years, telegraph, whatever, to go ahead and to teach Klal Yisrael that even though the person down the block can't hear you, but Hashem, who you can't see, hears you, is listening, watching, you're interacting with him, you talk to him, he's listening, he responds, was a very, very difficult thing to teach, to the point that the Mesillas Yesharim says it's from the hardest things for a person to visualize. Today, 2012, Baruch Hashem, you pull your cell phone out of your pockets, you could talk to someone in Eretz Yisrael, right, from his pockets. Right? You could be walking down the street on your avenue, you take out your phone, and you speak to your friend that's sitting in a falafel stop in your falafel store in Yerushalayim. We are able to picture much easier that we can go ahead and talk to somebody that you can't see. But we have to realize, this is from the Yesoidus HaEmunah, we daven, Hashem listens. And this is the contrast to Avodah Zarah, and this is from the most basic parts of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, it's over here. V'anitzak el Hashem elokei aviseinu. We called out to Hashem, the God of our fathers. V'yishma Hashem es koleinu. Hashem heard our voice. V'yar es onyeinu. And he saw our affliction. Es amoleinu, our whole work, our hard work. Ves lachatzeinu, and our pressure. The Ramban asks, and Rabbi Ruchim Levavitz expounds on this, if it was time for Klal Yisrael to have the Geula, so why do they have to daven? If it wasn't time for the Geula, what's davening going to help? And the Ramban says that even if it's time for the Geula, you have to daven. Nothing in this world happens unless there is tefillah. Tefillah makes the world go round. What Hashem did over here was he built up the pressure. We're going to see in a minute. The Melech Mitzrayim died in order for Klal Yisrael to daven. If you daven, then there's pressure. Then there's Yeshua. Hashem makes a situation, we have to daven. He built up the pressure so they should daven, but it's tefillah which makes the world go round. It's tefillah which makes things happen, That's the conduits of bringing Hashem into our lives. We're familiar with the Rashi, the Imahis were Akarais, in order to make them daven. Because tefillah is what Hashem is connecting, we can connect, and we have to connect. But Nitzak al Hashem lekei aviseinu, they daven to Hashem, the God of our fathers. Kemosh ha'nemar, vayehi b'yom rab mehem, it was in those days, v'yom ha'smelech Mitzrayim, the king of Mitzrayim died, vayeonchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoida v'yizaku, they sighed out from the avoida and they screamed, v'tal shavosam el ha'loikim min ha'avoida. Chazal tell us, the Melech Mitzrayim did not really die, the Gzeirus got worse, he started shechting the Jewish children for their blood, Klal Yisrael sighed, Klal Yisrael davened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard their tefillah, and as we said before, there are those who say Hashem made it worse to force them to daven. Others say that the Melech Mitzrayim dying was literal. The Melech Mitzrayim actually died. By the Melech Mitzrayim dying, they were busy with the Levaya. They were busy. There was a certain break. Klal Yisrael was hopeful that there'll be a new king, and the new king will be a little bit lighter on them. When that did not happen, they felt locked in, and they turned to Hashem. But I'll call upon him, however you say it, tefillah. Vayishma Hashem eskaleinu, Hashem heard our voice. Kemosh now, like the Pasuk says, Vayishma lekim es nakasam, Hashem heard their tefillah. Vayizker lekim es brisoi, Hashem remembered his treaty, es Avram, es Yitzhak, ves Yaakov. Klal Yisrael were the children of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, even though they had become Oyudei by the Zara, they had never dropped that relationship with their fathers. Hashem had promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that their children will leave Mitzrayim, become the Am HaNivchar. Hashem heard their davening, and when Hashem hears davening, Hashem kaviyocha, look, Hashem knows what's going on before you daven. Hashem knows what has to happen before you daven. But kaviyocha, it's said in a way that we can understand it, that when a person davens, Hashem kaviyocha remembers. Whenever it says Lashon of Zecher by Hashem, it doesn't mean Hashem remembers, Hashem never forgot. It means he acts like a person who remembers. The same way when a person remembers, they go ahead and they act on it. Whenever you see the word Zecher in Tanakh, or referring to Hashem, right, it means that we're asking Hashem to act on what he knows already. They davened, Hashem listened, Hashem vayar, Hashem looked, Hashem noticed. Obviously Hashem knew from before, right? The point is that Hashem acted on this issue right now. Vayares onyenu, Hashem saw our affliction. So again, some details of the affliction. Zu precious derech eretz. This is the stopping of family life. The husbands and wives were kept busy at different times, so they would not be able to get together. Kimosh nemar, it says in the pasuk, Vayar elokim es bnei Yisrael, Vayeda elokim. Right, it says Vayar Zonyenu, Pasuk says Vayar Lakimis Bnei Yisrael, Hashem saw, meaning, of course, Hashem knew before he kaviyachol saw. Hashem saw means that he's going to do something about it. The Es Amaleinu, our hard work, Elo Habonim, this refers to the Gzeira against the children. Kemosh Nemar, Kol Habein Hayiloid, any child who is born, Hayeiro Tashlichu, should be thrown into the river. The Chol Habas Techayin, and the girls should be kept alive. This was a gzeira both on the boys and on the girls. It was a physical gzeira on the boys. It was a physical gzeira on the boys because they were being killed. It was a ruchnius gzeira on the girls because Klal Yisrael saw their sons being thrown into the Yamsuf. What do you think is going to happen to the girls? They're going to have to marry Mitzrayim, and they will still they're going to have a Shas Hashemad. The Es Lachatzeinu and the pressure. Zuatchak, this refers to the pressure. Kemosh Nemar, the Gam Roisi es Halachatz, I saw the pressure, Asher Mitzrayim, Loichatzim, Oisam, that the Mitzrayim pressured them. So again, very briefly, Tefillah becomes a central theme in the shortest version of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael davens, Hashem listens. Hashem listens means Hashem takes notes, he starts orchestrating the events towards Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Whenever a person is Rachman Lotzlan has a problem, daven to Hashem. The Ramban says, as we mentioned earlier, nothing happens without tefillah. You have to daven. If you daven, then there's Yeshua. If you daven, Hashem listens, and davening becomes the way we interact with Hashem. Even if Hashem does not listen right away, but it connects us better with Hashem, davening is a schus forever, even when our tefillah is not accepted. And we also have to learn the lesson of the Mor and the Chareises, that even when it's bitter, you have to see the shining lights, the Chareises within the Mor.